Special guest this morning joining us here today from the Chinese spiritual group Falun Gong. Joining us here today is Levi Browdy. Mr. Browdy, good morning. Hello to you.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for being here. And I think maybe let's just set the table a little bit. And I don't know if many people have heard about the group Falun Gong, but why don't you set the table and explain to us what this is all about?
Sure. So Falun Gong is a Buddhist-based spiritual practice. It's known as a Qigong practice, which is sometimes called Chinese yoga. And these practices have been very popular in China for thousands of years, actually. And in the 1990s, Mr. Li Hongzhi introduced Falun Gong as spiritual practice to the public, and it became widely popular. By the end of the 1990s, there were 100 million people practicing. Throughout the 90s, the government had endorsed it. It was very popular. It was ubiquitous in China. But in the end of the 90s, the government found out that there were 100 million people practicing, which is more than the members of the Communist Party. And the top communist leader said, crush it. And for the last 23 years, anybody who practices or even voices support for Falun Gong is subject to arbitrary imprisonment, torture, and many have been killed as a result.
This is a severe program in China, isn't it?
Very severe. And it's very systematic throughout the society. So if you're a Falun Gong practitioner, you can get kicked out of school, you lose your job, you lose your housing, and again, you're at risk of being hauled away into a prison camp or a labor camp. Over the last 23 years, millions of Falun Gong practitioners have been detained. We have hundreds of thousands of cases of detailed torture cases. And according to a tribunal that was convened in London several years ago by the man who put Milosevic behind bars, as many as hundreds of thousands of Falun Gong practitioners have been killed so that their organs could be harvested and fuel a booming organ transplant business in China.
You know, we have heard about the Uyghurs and their relocation into Tibet, a portion of China, but this is in addition to that issue, correct?
It is, and the sad relationship there is that throughout the last 20 years, as the Chinese Communist Party has refined its methods of what they call, quote-unquote, transforming a Falun Gong practitioner, which means break them down mentally and physically so to which they'll, you know, abandon their beliefs, we are now seeing the methods, the actual torture methods and psychological methods they've used on Falun Gong. They've pivoted and now using it on Uyghurs and also on some house Christians in China.
We're talking to Levi Browdy, and we're talking about what I think commonly may be referred to as Chinese yoga, but is Falun Gong and is a huge problem in China. And now, Mr. Browdy, the issue here is that it's also this practice is also now becoming popular here in the United States, but the Chinese are out there with the misinformation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's a very interesting story. So in the 90s, when Falun Gong was very popular in China, you know, at that time, a lot of the Chinese top students were here, often at our Ivy League institutions here. And so Falun Gong really started in the United States on the campuses of Yale and Harvard and Stanford and so on, as these students who had learned it in China brought it over and they started teaching their friends. When the persecution started, however, the Falun Gong community around the world, particularly in the United States, became very vocal on exposing what the CCP was really doing. And consequently, the CCP organized, and to this day have organized, a systematic method of demonizing and silencing Falun Gong around the world. We've had people beaten up in the streets, shot at. We've had diplomats threaten our family members, both here and in China. And when we try and do some of the businesses that Falun Gong people have started here in the United States, they threaten customers of those businesses. So it's a very systematic method of trying to silence us here. I'll just tell you one key piece of that. A former diplomat in Australia defected from the CCP, and he came and testified before Congress. And one of the things he told them is that you have to understand, in every single diplomatic mission around the world, Chinese diplomatic mission, there is a unit inside that mission whose sole purpose is to demonize and silence Falun Gong in the host country.
And this, you know, effectively what the Chinese are doing is putting out the disinformation and claiming that that this is a cult, right? I mean, that's kind of what their bottom line is.
Yeah, I mean, what happened when they first started this persecution? Like, this is the first persecution that the communists had undertaken in the internet age. You know, for decades they have been killing millions and millions of their own people. They killed the capitalists. They killed the intellectuals. They went after all kinds of different people over the ages. But when they went after Falun Gong, it was the first one that was sort of on the international stage, and so they fumbled out of the gate. And for the first few months, they had no explanation to the international community about why they were doing all this to Falun Gong. Finally, a full five months after the persecution started, unfortunately, with the help of some PR experts in the West, they decided they needed to spin Falun Gong as a cult because that might work among the Western populace, and to some extent they were right. And so they've been pushing that narrative, and they've got more sophisticated the way they do that. They now sort of have people on social media and other platforms using different stories to push that narrative, all to sort of justify and hide human rights atrocities in China.
What about I understand the Chinese have set up Chinese schools across the country. What's the situation there with that? I know there's some folks are concerned about that.
Yeah, so years ago, the Communist Party set up what are called Confucius Institutes, which essentially means they would pay a university, American university, and newer universities around the world, really, a whole bunch of money, and they'd set up what they would call a Confucius Institute to allegedly sort of teach Chinese culture and language in that school. However, all the content is censored in the CCP style. So you don't learn about Tiananmen Square. You don't learn about the tens of millions of people that died during the Great Leap Forward or the Cultural Revolution. You only learn about the stuff that the CCP wants you to learn. After quite a while, some of the more intelligent universities and our government leaders kind of caught on to what they were doing, and slowly these Confucius Institutes have been closed, but still a lot of them remain open, and that's just one example of the CCP's sort of soft power in trying to deliver a positive message to the West.
You know, and I talk about this on a fairly regular basis, is, you know, the Chinese in our country. One of the things that I continue, this happened about 10 years ago, and I think there was a little bit of controversy about that, but the number one pork producer and processor in the United States, Smithfield Hams, owned by the Chinese.
Yeah, and you see it across the industry. I mean, they're taking over key food supplies, taking over AMC theaters, for example, one of the biggest theaters suppliers in the country, having inroads into our media companies. I mean, if you look at some of the largest media companies in the world, be it print or TV, their ownership now is doing tens of millions of dollars, in some cases even more, of business in China. And so that is very intentional. What people have to understand is there's no such thing as a private enterprise or NGO in China. The CCP can weaponize all of it and often does. And they've been doing that to gain more and more influence. And I'll tell you one key indicator of what that influence impact is. When the persecution of Falun Gong first started, it was all over the news. It was on the cover of the New York Times five times in 1999. Ian Johnson with the Wall Street Journal won a Pulitzer Prize in 2001 for reporting on how Falun Gong people were being tortured and killed throughout China. But starting in 2003, silence. It just fell off, you know, the coverage of Falun Gong fell off a cliff, and that's not by accident. The influence and control over the media by the CCP cannot be overstated.
And of course, they compare and contrast when they go into countries with this Belt and Road and the investment that they make into these countries. Compare and contrast with us here in the United States. Oftentimes, the way we try to influence countries is set in our military. That's what we do. And so they initially look like the good guys.
Yeah, so the Belt and Road Initiative actually is a great example. I'm glad you brought that up, where they'll go in, often to poor countries. They'll build some infrastructure, an airport, a railroad, you know, various types of technological infrastructure that country can't afford, put that country into their debt, and essentially they're acquiring satellite states, if we're really going to be honest. And now that they can have influence over those countries, use those countries for military exercises. And so they've been doing that with the Belt and Road Initiative for almost a decade now.
And I just had the news earlier this morning, 5:30 on my early portion of the show, is that they're doing that now in Honduras. And, of course, Honduras has had a terrible time in Latin America. They've been sending immigrants to our southern border, and we haven't figured out how to deal with Honduras. But apparently the Chinese are starting to invest in Honduras. So they are now coming into this, into the Western Hemisphere in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been a number of things they've been doing on the border. I mean, the big story in my mind over the last few years has been the revelation that, at least initially, a large part of the fentanyl that is coming into this country that is killing Americans on a rate greater than anything else at this point was manufactured in China and moved into Mexico and up the border. And that's, the Honduras, that's another example. But there are several examples of how the CCP is taking advantage of this whole situation and making it much, much worse.
All right. But again, back to the basic, what we were talking about today with Mr. Levi Browdy is a Falun Gong, which we oftentimes may be referred to in a shorthand as Chinese yoga. Mr. Browdy, how could, if folks are interested in this subject, how could they find out more information about what you and I talked about today?
I would go to the website of the Falun Dafa Information Center, which is falun.info.net, falun.info.net. There they can read not only all about Falun Gong, but also the broader impact of this persecution inside China and what's happening abroad as well.
All right, Mr. Browdy, thank you very much. Great to talk to you. We'll talk again at some point again, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, Levi Browdy here today.